This is an Alliance podcast.
What up, world?
That is loud.
Sorry.
Hello. Hi, people.
I'm in.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Whew. It's been a minute.
It's been a long time. Shouldn't have left you without a dope beat. Step two. Sorry. All
right,
I'm done.
Wow. That's not what you're hearing right now. But anyway.
Wow.
This guy here.
All right.
Well, I'm not saying it like that. I was just saying, like, that ain't going to be the beep in the background.
That's true.
Anyway.
That's true.
It's probably gonna be who you're gonna hear in hits and riffs later. But anyway, this is Sky here, the ATL representer out here in the October.
Okay.
repping, high stepping from the 404, where the South California, Southern California beats the core at the door in the Wild Wild West, and I'm with who?
Man, listen, it's your girl Sills, VA all day, two up, two down. You know what it is. I'm kind of happy to be back. You know what I mean? I'm motivated to record and everything. It's been a wild ride.
Yes.
It's been a wild ride at work, at home, everywhere. I'm just excited to escape for about an hour or so.
Okay. Yeah. Whoa. Before you go and have your whole soliloquy, who are we? We are Shea Butter FC, a podcast featuring two Black women's perspectives on soccer, football, and everything in between.
Delivering content with soul and seasoning that'll moisturize your skin.
Lay your edges.
And deepen your love for all things Black women.
Also, what are we doing this week? Oh, okay. I guess it's me first. So this week, we're going to talk about the past few match days of the NWSL. And kind of sort of touch on the playoff race, since we ain't talked about this in the episode in a minute.
Then we bring you our SBFC superlatives, particularly letting y'all know what those superlatives mean.
And then we open the SBFC library, sanctuary, prayer circle, seance. I don't know. Everything on a variety of topics.
Yeah.
Beyond our last whole episode. Yeah, we're going to bring some sage.
Yes. And as always, we will bring you our hits and riffs and rants and raves of the week.
So I guess it's time to start and talk about games.
Let's do it to it.
So it's been a bajillion games, but with these bajillion games, we now have people who are no longer in playoff contention. They're going to go home and be family women, family people.
People, yeah.
There we go. Aha! See? Aha! Shatai!
We're trying to correct ourselves, you know what I mean?
Hey, but they gonna be with their families because they ain't going to no playoffs.
Or by themselves, because I feel that too.
They're gonna be by yourself. Yeah, you're gonna be by yourself.
I would take
until
that right.
Till next February. So, the flames have been dimmed for Kansas City, for Louisville, and for Orlando.
Yeah, that's a really poetic way to say that. But yeah. I feel like Kansas City and Louisville have been out of it for at least the last couple of matches, mathematically for sure. Yes. Orlando held their fate in their hands and lost to Louisville to be eliminated from playoff contention.
Woo!
So that great run they had sort of toward the beginning of the season and through about the halfway point fizzled out for them. Now they've had some injuries and other things, but yeah. Orlando's still Orlando.
I mean, it was more so you got talent in places, but you got no midfield. You got midfield spacing issues, and yeah. Oh, and by the way, and also not playing through Sidney Leroux. Do what it do is no playoff contention.
Once again, I don't think Orlando's ever been in the playoffs.
Dang, they haven't? Yeah, they did.
They did make it once?
I think once upon a time, long time ago.
Was it their first year? Because that would have been the only time.
Oh, jeez.
I don't know.
Oh, damn.
Y'all let us know. I'm sure you will.
We might be wrong. Yeah, we probably don't hear about it. Uh-oh, sorry, guys.
We got some people who love Orlando, and we got some people who don't love Orlando at all. So I'm sure one of those groups of people will let us know. Okay. Sure. Next order of business. Hey, Sky, is Mitch Purse good?
Is she, like, MVP good? Is she, like, you know, if you put her back in the lineup, then goals are scored and
your team doesn't struggle. Lose.
Oh, yeah. I think she's really good.
Yeah. They don't lose a lot when she's played. In fact, they haven't lost.
Have they lost?
Not since she's come back. No, they have not. They drew once and they've won all of their other games. And Midge is still very much in the golden boot race, even though she's played far less games than everybody else.
Wow.
Top of the golden boot race. And fun fact, Gotham, for the entire season, it feels like, has had two games in hand. So they will play... They will play Kansas City. We're recording this on a Thursday, so they will play Kansas City on Friday the 22nd.
Tomorrow.
It's just a makeup game, so tomorrow. And then they will also play Louisville twice in like 3 days, the first one being on the 28th, and then the last one is on the last day of the season. And in theory, if they win all of those games and a bunch of other stuff breaks for them, they could finish as high as second. They could also miss the playoffs, so...
Yeah,
Gotham still has to play out their three games. And while obviously Kansas City and Louisville are out, they are no slouches. I think particularly Kansas City has beaten a lot of playoff teams lately. So yep. Those teams can play spoiler. So Gotham definitely has to be on their A game.
And Louisville ended Orlando's hopes. So.
Yes, absolutely. So there's talent on both of those teams. It's not a given. And Gotham preferably needs to win all of those games, but certainly take points from all of them. But we're just excited for the return of Midge and the return of our, honestly, probably my favorite partnership in Ify and Midge up yes. front. They seem to love it. So, and it shows in how they play and that beautiful team goal they scored. Was that against North Carolina?
Yeah.
Yeah. That was yes. a lovely goal. Yeah.
Yes, it was.
That ended with Midge scoring. So Gotham's back to their winning way. So we'll see what that looks like in next week as they come over the finish line. The Portland Thorns finally won a game. They hadn't been winning lately, but they beat the Houston Dash 1-0 on a... Oh, never mind. I know who scored that goal. They won 1-0.
Who scored the goal, please? Can you show the
goal? Is she number 9?
Lindsey Horan scored a goal, y'all.
Lindsey Horan scored the goal for Portland. And with that win, Portland clinched the Shield. For those mm-hmm. of you new to soccer, the Shield in the NWSL is the team with the best regular season record. There are Shields in many leagues around the world. I think the WSL has a Shield and a couple of others. But yeah, you get credit for having, it's like is it the Hart Trophy in hockey? I can't remember, but the best regular season team gets an award, but it is not the championship. So, but they will have the number one spot and a first round bye and a home game in the semifinal.
Yup.
All right. So, all right. Next up, my team, God bless. OL Reign have won, drawn, and lost in their last three matches. However, they still control their own destiny. So if they beat Kansas City on the 30th, they are the second place team and they will also get the first round bye. If not, they could still be in second, but they would need some help. So just win, baby.
Okay, Al Davis.
Yeah, yeah. listen, if Al Davis were around the team, they might have made different choices recently. Bruh, have we recorded since that happened? That was wild.
No,
sorry.
We have not.
That was wild.
We talked about it on our other crossover podcast,
yes, we did.
We didn't talk about that little situation.
Man, what a wow.
With that hardcore racism. But okay, just.
Yes, for sure.
Al Davis would have pimp slapped him, but okay, continue.
1,000 times. Next up, we have the Washington Spirit, who have mm-hmm. not lost since they came back to active play in like late September. They won mm-hmm. most of their matches. I think they drew with Gotham and they have secured a playoff spot. Their first since the 2016 season, I believe.
Wow.
So yeah, they could.
Oh, because they beat y'all.
Yes, they did. Sorry. They did. So yeah. And to be fair, they needed that game and we should have played better. I think Ooh. We also just looked
Look
really tired.
Looked exhausted.
But, you know, we get 2 weeks to rest up, and Washington could very well have a home playoff game.
Yes, they could have.
So with all of that, what we now know is that we have 3 remaining playoff spots and 4 teams vying for 3 spots.
Woo!
So the 4 teams still in the playoff race are Gotham, as we mentioned before, the Houston Dash, North Carolina Courage, and the Chicago Red Stars. So who do you think? I know, it's hard, huh?
Honestly?
I don't want to say it, but...
I do see you, Sarah. But
I know, I didn't want to say it. I was like,
ugh. It might be North Carolina. Might be. Because they refuse to change their formation. And Sam Ewis's knee is not healthy yet.
No.
And it sounds like it's ready based on the Snacks podcast.
No, it did not.
It sounds like we got hope that after the break, she may be able to come into the game. But we are dead set on playing this 4-2-2 formation, and it's getting waxed on up. And it's causing all kinds of problems because you're missing a Sam Ewis, and you no longer have Crystal Dunn, and you no longer have,
Abby Chrissy
Hamilton. You don't have Mace.
Nope, you
don't have Abby Dahlkemper back there. No. Somebody else is hurt.
You changed goalkeeper, so Murphy's been fine, but.
Yeah. You change goalkeepers, but yeah. I mean, you effectively don't have the right personnel to implement. You need Sam Ewis. Oh, Lord Jesus, I'm going to call Christy. You need Sam Ewis in your midfield because of this formation. Because this formation works phenomenally if you have the right midfield players, but it's a disaster. It gets ran through because, I mean, Louisville has run this too, by the way, and they've gotten messed up by it. But you can't run this formation without having a Sam Ewis or Crystal Dunn-like entity in the midfield.
Right. I think if I were a betting person, I'd probably bet it'd be North Carolina. But the team they play in the last game is probably the other one that commits it, just because Houston is frustratingly inconsistent.
Yeah.
Like, I thought they played well. They had just beaten Portland, and then they couldn't get a goal, though they probably should have scored in the last game against Portland. But they also beat North Carolina last time, like 4-0. Was that? No, that was Louisville. Sorry.
Yeah,
they beat North Carolina last time they played them. But Houston's just as capable of losing. Like, Houston, though. Wait,
So is this that's the last game? So are they effectively probably playing for this playoff spot?
Yeah, that's pretty much what it comes down to. I think if Chicago wins, they're pretty good to go. Gotham has more games to play, so if they get points from every game, they're in.
And Chicago plays who?
Chicago plays Orlando.
Oh, okay.
But Orlando can play spoiler, but now if Chicago doesn't win, that looks different. But I think
they're good.
I think Chicago's okay. They might be the most okay. Gotham probably a little more. So it's gonna come down to Houston, North Carolina, and I think Houston wins that game.
Yeah, because, like, for real, if Sam isn't playing and if she's not healthy, you're going to have to – you got to play a different formation because Houston can exploit the hell out of that formation. And, like, it's not like you can't – you could score, but the issue is because of your issue. Part even what's going on with Orlando, your midfield issue is forcing your attacking players to have to drop back and defend in midfield, and they're not attacking, and that's throwing everything off, so they're not converting. Or even when we look at something when they play Gotham, right? Yes, like somebody like Lynn Williams had multiple opportunities to score, but Caitlin Sheridan shut down lanes.
Yeah, so that's why you have a goalkeeper.
What looks simplistic on TV was really kind of complicated. And even what like the other backline players were doing, like when Caprice Dadasco dived at Lynn Williams' foot as she was trying to kick what should have been what you would have thought would have been a short goal. But Caitlin Sheridan blocked off the angle where she had to kick it at a certain rate. Didasco diving at her?
No, I absolutely think it influences. I think it influences that. I also think if you ask Lynn, she probably would want one of those back.
Yeah.
But having said all of that, one good game. North Carolina's in the playoffs. And I would never want to play North Carolina in the playoffs, despite who isn't there anymore.
Right.
I think we agree the most likely team to miss out, just based on recent play, is North Carolina Courage. Sorry, Sarah.
It gets better.
But Well, no, we'll see. We'll see. I think that Houston, North Carolina game is the game to determine the last team. So, okay. So we have had a ton of soccer lately. So it's been really hard to keep track of all of the superlatives. So what we decided to do, I think we have some new listeners.
Yeah, we got a lot of new listeners.
Yeah. So we're going to go through and sort of define, or not sort of, we're going to define what our terms are so that when we hashtag them, they make sense to you.
Right.
So yeah, let's start with the OG, the originator, how we got our name, yep. Shea Butter Bomb.
What is the Shea Butter Bomb for the people out there?
Issa Golazo for Black people. That's the easiest way to describe it.
Well, yeah, it's a goal, y'all.
Yeah, it's a phenomenal, it's a goal period, but emphasis on any kind of phenomenal goal. It can be from distance, it can be up close. Just the beauty of goal scoring.
Yes.
Propping up our wonderful Black players in WOSO when they do so.
So is there like a Shea Butter Bomb that's not a Shea Butter Boom? Which a Shea Butter Boom would be a booming kind of goal. It's like got boom.
Yeah, okay, I have a good boom. A good bomb, if we want to go international, I feel like a bicycle kick is always a bomb.
Yeah.
And Melvin Millard from Lyon in the Champions League, by the way, which is super disrespectful, hit a bicycle kick on an assist from who?
Katarina Macario.
Might be good. She might be good. Sorry, I'm going to get angry if I talk about that right now. Yeah, so go look up Melvin Millard's bicycle kick in the Champions League. That is a Shea Butter Bomb, and it is lovely. And then, so you mentioned it. What's a Shea Butter Boom?
Well, I said it. Like, it's like a booming damn.
Yes.
Damn. That's a goal. Booming goal.
So a good Shea Butter Boom would be, go look up Darian Jenkins' last goal.
Yeah, that was
that pretty. Thing was.
That was a boom. Whew. That it thing. Can go from distance, but it usually is like a boom. Like a bam. Like a damn.
It's a banger, right? We tend to call those bangers. Typically from distance. Doesn't have to be outside the box, but usually is. But yeah, to me, that's a boom. Shea Butter hat trick.
Shea Butter hat trick, I guess it varies. So it could be three Black players doing Shea Butter greatness type things. Or multiple... Or three players scoring multiple, scoring Shea Butter bombs.
Yes.
Or they have some kind of Shea Butter cycle.
Yes.
Where it's three players doing whatever. Yes. So I'm trying to think. There was some game Gotham, this happened. There was a Shea Butter whole situation.
Yeah, I think you had assists, like, it was like Imani Midge and Efi.
Yeah.
And there was like, two of them scored and like everybody got an assist or something, or one of them got an assist.
Something like crazy like
so
that.
Something like that can be one version. Would we call it a Shea Butter hat trick if one Black player got a hat trick?
Yeah, that too. That
yeah, so too. There's many ways to
So it's like this summer when Kristen Press scored, then she assisted.
Yes.
A Black player, two Black players or some shit like that.
Yeah, and you can do that. Absolutely. Do we count the cards? Because I know some people do the unofficial the unofficial hat trick when you get a card.
The card too. Yeah, get that too. If you just go full out, you scored, you got a dime, and then we need to define what a dime is. But you got an assist. A Shea Butter dime would be an assist.
Yeah.
And then you got a card.
That's a hat trick.
Because you was out here. Shea Butter Dom, definitely Katarina Macario.
Yes, on that assist. And also, it might have been Louisville that they played. I can't remember. Washington Spirit. But that first assist by Trinity Rodman to Ashley Hatch, I still think about that assist.
Yeah, that was really sexy.
That was, Lord. She's good.
Yep.
and she's so young. It's really unfair. Okay, Shea Butter and One.
So Shea Butter and One is basically like and one mixtapes. Oh god, some of y'all are really young.
Do we have to explain
so and one mixtape? So back in the day playing basketball, you had like the and one series. So like if you see the shorts in Walmart, they used to be like a serious thing. So playing basketball, people play street ball and they're like crossing people over and embarrassing them on the street ball courts. What's up? The parks in New York. But anyway, they out here in the And One mixtape series. So And One is when somebody does some embarrassing things, they embarrass their opponent in some kind of fashion. It could be defensive, it could be offensive, it could be all of the above.
Yeah.
So who did a good And One type of situation?
There are I was few. Trying to remember. Oh, I can't remember that dude's. They need a list of like famous Ant One players.
But like
I can see his face and I cannot remember his name because I'm old.
But like even like when you look at in terms of what, let's see. So Trini Rodman's been and one in people left and right.
Yeah, I mean this is pretty much her category, I feel.
Even like, you know, unnecessarily nutmegging people to score a goal or crossing them up. But then you got somebody like Estelle Johnson. She proceeded to shut down her attempt to nutmeg her and then kicked that ball and was like, I'm wrong. So, you know, yes. It can go back and forth. Actually, so a shutdown, somebody, a defensive player or a defensive like attempt to shut something down from an offensive stance, that would be a shea butter brick. Because you're throwing up bricks, like a brick, like you stop it. Yeah. And then so effectively, Estelle Johnson, well, hell, the whole Gotham back line situation.
Yeah, that's fair.
He fired, including Chicago, too. What's up, Sarah, Casey? And so you can have Shea Butter lockdown. What happened with Sarah Gordon in particular with the Orlando Pride, and she locked down multiple players of Orlando's attack. And how Chicago ended up beating. They won that game, right, against Orlando?
Yes, they needed to win that game. They won it.
A Shea Butter, that's a new word. A Shea Butter lockdown would be like you shutting the whole thing down. Like, ain't nobody scoring. You ain't scoring on me. That's beautiful. What else?
Let's see. So, yeah, you did Shea Butter brick, Shea Butter lockdown. Those live in the same family.
Oh, Shea Butter furniture
meeting. Yes.
Okay, so we don't believe in black-on-black crime because there's no such thing. Yeah. So, or Shea Butter on Shea Butter. So on the field, when you have Shea Butter like players going at it, then it's gonna be a lot of furniture moving. That means you got people out here, you know.
Yeah.
We out here handling business. We might be a little, you know, we're pushing and shoving. We gonna let you know who it is and who it's gonna be. So you have a lot of those. Man, there was plenty of Shea Butter furniture moving between like KC playing Portland, Gotham playing Portland.
Yes.
Orlando, not Orlando. Chicago played Washington.
Right.
You know, you got a lot of the delegation going back and forth. Oh yeah, and then the Shea Butter delegation would be black players.
Yes. Oh yeah, we didn't define that. Yeah.
What else?
Shea Butter mic check.
So that's a attempt to try to score a goal.
Yes.
Usually trying to hit a golazo.
Yeah, so a boom or a bomb.
A boom or a bomb, but it misses, but it should have went in.
Yeah.
So Lynn Williams had plenty of those.
Yeah. Yeah.
Last game. Also, was that Jessica McDonald?
Yeah. Yeah.
Dabinia. Everybody had, there were quite a few people.
There's a lot of Shea Butter mic checks.
Yeah, it was a lot.
I feel like Iffy had one too.
Yeah, she did. She did. Shea Butter heat check is when you effectively put somebody on the ground. Or
it's about to be a girl fight.
Yeah, that's it.
Look at that. Look at that.
Oh, snap. It's effectively heat check, like you checking somebody, like, what's good. Sometimes you have to do that to let people know. You gonna let them know what it is and what it's gonna be and what you're not gonna do on this football field.
Yes.
Or you just have to just, like, make it clear. So sometimes, I mean, so when a lot of the delegation, particularly when Gotham plays Washington Spirit and Trinity Robbins running into grown black women, then it's like, and then you ain't gonna do that to me. I'm grown today. You gotta heat check it. Or Sarah Gordon.
Yeah.
You know, just shut that on down.
Sarah Gordon has been involved in several heat checks throughout her career.
Or, oh, Kiki Pickett.
Yeah, she gonna have a lot of heat checks in her life.
Yeah, she's been heat checking and sending people flying.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So,
what's up?
Oh, Shea Butter Get Your Fits Right.
Yeah, so that is the fits. That was a segment we did way, way back when. We talked about different fits on and off the pitch.
Yeah.
And so in this case, it's like the players coming in, what they wearing before the game, in game, if they're not playing. And I mean, who was bomb this week? Oh, Ali Watt has some fits.
Yeah, she getting
fits. I was like, yes!
But I came to play and I came to slay. So I feel that. I respect it. We usually the top two contenders for the season have been Gotham and OL Reign. I've seen some teams start to step their game up. I know he's had a like country and western cowboy, something like that going on a few weeks ago. And some of the delegation got some real good fits off, you know, with the cowboy chic. So but it's really fly outfits. So keep a lookout. We usually try to post that and so do the teams. And then we have player of the week. We keep it simple on that one, so we just say who we thought the player of the week was, and much like the league, who we don't always agree with, but we do this week, it is Bitch Purse.
Yes, it was. Yes. Yeah. She was balling. She was doing that thing.
Yeah. And then, oh, you want to explain this last one since you came up?
Oh, yeah, yeah. And so then the last thing, it's a hashtag that I made up. Pass that thing to Kang. So basically, Steve Baldwin still refuses to sell this team to Y. Michelle Kang.
Kang Michelle. Kang Michelle.
But basically, pass the thing to Kang. Like, can you give the team to her? The players have told you this. The staff have told you this. Give her the team. And this probably will rectify the bridge the gaps between them and DC United. Basically, you need to just pass the thing to Kang so that she can... She can take this to the next level. She can take it to the... She was willing to pay all this money for this team.
She was willing to overpay.
She was overpay. And actually, it's probably worth it because if you market it correctly, we should be having swag surfing brunches at the DC situation. I should be litty before the game with the committee. We should be out here stepping in the streets. We should be in the Audi Field litty. It's freaking DC.
It's Chocolate City. Chocolate City should have more chocolate players on their teams.
It should be, that should be one of the blackest teams in the league.
Absolutely.
I'm not going to go on that rant. We're going to hold it. We're going to simmer
it. Save it for another
Basically,
day.
All right. Pass that thing to Kang because she has a vision. She's hearing the players. She would totally help rectify the issues with DC United. They could be great together, flourish together, and not pay on no freaking Segra. And play in Audi Stadium, Audi Field, where you actually could take public transportation to go see the game.
Absolutely.
And we could be brunching, swag surfing on our breakfast toast.
Right.
I ain't gonna eat no breakfast toast. I just want some scrambled eggs. Okay. And then be able to go to the game and drink my water.
Yes.
But anyway, yeah.
So, yeah, that is our superlative list. Like we said, normally we give you the names of players, but there's been a whole lot of football in the past, like, 2 to 3 weeks. And we can't keep everything straight. I don't remember who scored when in what game at this point. So, but if you take a look on our social media, we tend to try to clip those goals and let you know what's up, who's scoring booms and bombs and ones and things like that. So take a look, show some love, leave some likes for those players. So that's it. We're going to take a quick break.
Mm-hmm.
And we're gonna come back to the library sanctuary prayer circle. That's got to call it. All right, we'll be right back.
Yeah, what's good? We're here.
We're here to deal with the stuff, right?
Kicking open the sanctuary.
We don't
only so that our rants. Sanctuary, library, prayer circle, whatever. Throw sage on that shit.
We should do it. We should intro with a gospel song or something. Cleanse it. Play a little Jesus Take the Wheel, something.
Jesus, take the wheel. probably draw that shit off a cliff. Sorry. Please don't strike me.
Sorry, Revens, including my parents. Probably. I feel like, though, if you're a clergy of some sort and you're still listening to us, you've come to accept that we might curse from time to time. You know our hearts. As they say in the South, you know, Lord knows my heart. Yeah. Okay. I guess let's get into
the NWSL
this week. Yeah, let's do it. So the NWL this week named a new
NWL.
NWL, that too. Well, you know what I think NWSL stands for. I'm not gonna say it right now.
I mean, if you bowed it, just say it.
The National White Soccer League. Yes. Okay. I mean, most days I'm correct. I'm waiting for them to prove me wrong. They named a new, we're calling her the CEO, correct?
Yes. Not a commissioner.
It is not.
She could be the commissioner, but she is not the commissioner.
So,
but go ahead.
On Monday, Marla Messing, not Deborah Messing, was named the NWSL CEO, Chief Executive Officer, and that was immediately. And she held a press conference on Wednesday. Wednesday was yesterday. I haven't had a chance to go over all of the transcripts. I know we got bits and pieces on Twitter. She talked about transparency. She talked about, I think they've met with the NWSLPA, but not the Black Women's Players Collective, which is a conversation to be had. She's got a lot of work to do. Mm-hmm. And she has ties to like the 99ers and stuff. And I know she was a recommendation of Cindy Parlow-Cohn, who is the president of U.S. Soccer and a former national team member herself. So we'll see. There was some good and some bad in there. I would recommend checking out either the Equalizer or the Athletic just for a nice succinct summary of what went down in the press conference, just so you have the actual information and then you can move from there. I think it's very interesting that a CEO was appointed versus a commissioner. I do mm-hmm. believe some of that is around the players wanting a say in who the next commissioner will be, which mm-hmm. seems fair considering. But yeah, it's going to be interesting. Mm-hmm. It's going to be interesting. It's a different approach. I always find it interesting that all of these women that they call into positions of power look the same.
They're all white.
Yeah.
What anti-racist? What?
You're not going to convince me as a Black woman who's worked with phenomenal and incredible Black and Brown women that there aren't equally, if not more so, qualified Black and Brown women, non-men, whoever, to do this job.
Yeah.
In this league. And quite frankly, you might need somebody who's coming from the outside.
Yeah, you really do.
Because getting people from the inside has not helped your cause at all.
Not at all. Like you're doing the same shit. You're doing the same stupid shit. And then you got the same flavor of the same thing in a hyperly white league when it's not just white issues you got to correct. You have to correct the issues of the racism. You got to talk about how the CEO has not talked to the Black Women's Players Collective.
Yeah.
You got to talk about how you just don't have white players in the league. You don't have just straight players. You don't have just, like, you have to be hyperly inclusive. Yeah. So you need to be opening your little books, if your anti-racism books, and seeing that you need to have diversity. And you for sure, because of the disaster, and particularly because soccer in general has yet to have infrastructure, period,
yeah,
of any adequate anything, you really need to get outside people to help you develop what probably can be the first version of a legitimate type of structure.
Yeah.
To fix all this fuckery. But you need outside people to be given perspective.
You need the English major in the engineering company, right? You need the engineer in the history class. You need, you need, I'm going off my own background, obviously, but you need.
And mine.
Yeah. So you need different perspective. You need people to be able to see your world, which they do not occupy, in a different way.
Yeah.
And they can offer you some solutions that sometimes are super simple, but you don't have the capacity or point of view to see it or even think of it.
Right.
And so hiring white woman after white woman after white woman isn't going to fix your problem, because all you've done is hire white woman after white woman after white woman, and you got problems.
Right. And it's like you're doing the same shit. Like, you're doing the same shit, different spin cycle. It's
right.
Like spin cycle, same thing.
The The definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result.
Right.
That's actually not the definition of insanity, but you know the famous saying. But it is. Like, you keep doing the same thing and expecting something different.
Yeah, it's got to stop. Because you're going to do the same stupid stuff. Like, it's like y'all embracing this thousandaire life when this could be a billion-dollar situation is really getting on my nerves.
Yeah.
Because for you to hit the billions, you have to be hyperly inclusive.
Yeah.
Like, no bullshit.
Yeah.
You're going to have to get, because you need culture, you need everything to invade in how you're planning and scheming to dismantle a lot of this oppression.
Right.
And then additionally, to build things to be better in a strategy standpoint. Like, all the teams been fumbling the bag left and right. And it's like, you sitting here doing the same stupid shit with people who have been a part of failed entities.
Yeah.
And I understand that you got some of these people stepping in because they're like, yeah, when they were in charge or something, that it fell through. They want to help it to be better. But you're felling up. In some of these cases, you're appointing people to fell up who were a part of the past failure. You're having them perpetuate the failure. And it's one thing if you bring them in as a point of reference.
Right.
To like maybe go, hey, why did it fail? But when you then don't bring any Black and brown Asian individuals to help you.
Right.
Whether or not, including from teams that may not be in the league yet, or entities and investors that you already got of these different demographics that are not white women, then you're going to do the same stupid shit.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think too much as it is with anything, right? The grip supremacy has on everything and the pushback against that structure and all that it's, and all of the structures and all of the systems that it has created and or buoyed, it's just playing out on a micro level, right? We could talk about the formation of that committee as well, being three white women, right? And Amanda Duffy, Angie Long, and Sophie Savage. And again, it's a committee. It's being formed to help look into the problems in the league and assess player demands, which it sounds like there's been some movement on, but we won't know until Monday. But again, you're moving from a very white, very cisgendered, very heterosexual lens, if I'm being honest. And that's only caused you problems. It ain't really solved any. So you should be bringing more. Diversity is good for everything and everyone. And that should be your focus. I know we're going to talk about, you know, FIFA and media and everything else, but I know Becky Sauerbrunn said, if you want to grow the game, be less racist, homophobic, transphobic, and sexist. Ooh. It's very simple. That's why she's the captain. Like, it's very simple, right? Like, yeah, she's like, you're making a thing that's not complicated, complicated.
Right. Because once you address those isms, then you then get free and everybody gets free.
Right. And it's not an overnight process. We know that you're deconstructing something that in this country, at least, has lasted for 400 plus years at this point. But you've got to start somewhere. You can try, because what we've been doing ain't working. So why not?
Y'all being broke. Do y'all like being broke? I don't like being broke.
No.
Get unbroken and free.
And the players don't like it either. So, and we'll talk about that more in the weeks to come as negotiations happen, as a pending CBA comes about, all of that fun stuff, and what that might mean for these players and future players in this league. All right.
So then let's talk about media then.
Right. And I caveat, I'm a member of the media. So, okay.
I mean, in theory, we both are kind of.
Yes. We both are. And that looks very different depending on what you look like. That's very true. So I'm going to come to Whistle Media. I think, though, what has me thinking, the WNBA finals.
This past week.
And I'm not, we'll do raves in a little bit because we're both hyped, so you can guess who won. But there was a lot of fallout. So in game two, which Phoenix came back and won, Diana Taurasi pushed an official twice, by the way.
Yep.
Now, the rules of the league are you are not allowed to touch officials, period.
Not at all.
You certainly aren't allowed to push an official. Now, was it a super violent shove? No, but it was a very noticeable one.
Right. That happened not once, but twice.
And happened twice. And Diana Taurasi should not have played game three.
Nope.
However, there's a lot of media narrative trying to excuse why she should play in game three. Now, I know not everybody agrees with this. I would say the media has been more than favorable to Taurasi throughout her career. And I'm not taking anything away from her. She's a volume scorer. She's a great player. She had a great college career. She's had a great pro career. She's a great ambassador for the game. All that is very true. But she absolutely benefits from privilege.
Yes.
Particularly media privilege and how she is covered versus some of her contemporaries and some of the younger players, many of whom are not white.
Mm-hmm. Well,
I'm saying this only to say she obviously played in game three.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a game four as well. And after game four, spoiler alert, the Chicago Sky won the championship. Shout out to all the Chicago heads, the Connors, the Sandras, the Caitlins, the Claire, all y'all are super hype. So happy for y'all. But the narrative changes when the Phoenix Mercury players refuse to do the press conference.
Right.
After the game.
Right.
Their coach, Sandy Brondello, did her job, spoke to the media. I don't know if she knew beforehand if the players weren't coming out. I don't know. And the media's reaction was very different in that far more than not were like, they should do it. Now, we've had a lot of conversations about mental health and what we expect of athletes and what they owe us, which is not really anything. And it's been led by a Naomi Osaka, a Simone Biles, right? Kristen Vress very poignantly posted why she was taking time off for the rest of the year with the national team. And others have too. Our male athlete Kevin Love has been very, very vocal about mental health and basketball in the NBA. Like, there's been a lot of players doing this for a long time. And I don't doubt that there are some players who are dealing with mental stuff. And also using Naomi Osaka's name, using Simone Biles' name, using Asia Wilson's name to justify players who are not all Black women themselves,
right,
not speaking to the media right after a loss when those players were also very vocal when they were winning.
Right.
Again, I can't read intent or minds. It feels off to me.
Right. Particularly when you let Asia Wilson,
right,
who broke down on the court in the previous series, she had to go do media.
Right.
And I heard the fans of the team,
right,
get frustrated that that happened, but she proceeded to go do media after a horrific loss.
Right.
As
an expectation, right? Because she's the star.
Right.
And again, if she hadn't, she owes you nothing.
Right.
And particularly, I'm going to talk about this because it's WNBA and over 80% of your players are Black. Black women don't owe you shit.
That part.
So again, this is not to come after the players, but the discourse around that afterwards, and all I could think about was, one, I feel like this is about one particular player on the Phoenix Mercury.
Yes.
Who you all have had a very different relationship with and very different access to. And two, all I can think of, this is a hell of your own construction.
Mm-hmm.
You created the person who now doesn't want to give you what you think she owes you. Like, you created this world. Mm-hmm. You gotta live in it now.
Mm-hmm.
So I say that to say, right, and we'll talk a little bit more about the WNBA in our race section, but I say that to say, in transitioning to WOSO media.
Ooh.
And we've talked about this particularly as Black and Brown fans, right? The same thing, the inability to hold particularly your white players accountable.
Yep.
Particularly glaring this week, right, is shout out to Andre for posting this, and other people have as well, but the disconnect between circling up in the middle of the pitch in the name of player safety and still standing when everybody else is kneeling.
Come on now.
So you support your... You support your teammates, just not the Black ones.
Right.
You understand solidarity, just not when it makes you uncomfortable.
Right.
And challenges your own personal beliefs. Like, and the lack of questioning in the media about those things continually. I'm a member of the media. I'm not in the room. Not enough. And there's not a lot of us. That's just the reality. I'm the only Black. I might not be the only one. I'm the only one I can think of right now. I'm the only Black woman who writes for WOSO exclusively. Ooh. That's horrifying. That's not acceptable. And for us to critique a league when we're not modeling the behavior. Or maybe we are. Maybe we are modeling a behavior of the league. And that's some internal stuff that we all have to do. And I'm putting myself out there on it too. It's the lack of being able to call people to task. And to bring it full circle, part of why this has been sitting on my spirit is because one of the biggest figures in the sport that hasn't been called to task is Jill Ellis. What? And now she's running this tactical committee for FIFA, who keeps appointing her to stuff that she has no business being in charge of.
Come on
and
now.
She is not opposed to, so for those who are not in the know, FIFA, in certain branches of FIFA, I will say, I don't think it's everyone, is proposing vigorously a biannual World Cup. The okay, World no. Cup, both men's and women's, happens every 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
For the men, it will happen next year. And at the end of 2022, they have to do it in the winter because it's in Qatar, because some shady stuff went on and Qatar got a World Cup. Okay, there's a whole movie about it if you want to watch it. The Women's World Cup will be in 2023, and it's a combination of New Zealand and Australia, right? But it's every 4 years. Even with COVID, it's managed to be every 4 years because of the time. One, there's no way you care about player safety if you're asking people to play a World Cup every 2 years.
Right.
There's no way on earth. Two, part of why the World Cup is so special is because it's every 4 years.
Yes.
And teams that you don't think have a chance somehow get in and have a run, and it's magical. And people of nations that don't typically have a lot of soccer glory, football glory, sorry for my non-American listeners, get to have that for one moment, right? And the beauty of it is the entire world is watching one thing. That's why it's called the World Cup. Taking it to every 2 years ruins all of that.
Yep.
And it is increasingly clear that it is nothing but a bold-faced money grab.
Right.
Because FIFA can't make money off of clubs.
Yep.
Or at least not to the extent that they want. They don't control clubs. They only control international teams.
Yep.
And so I think it speaks very loudly about all of the things a lot of us have always thought about that particular coach of the national team until recently. Mm-hmm. That's who they put in charge.
Yep.
To try to sell us, to try to help sell it.
Right. And it's wild because the players for said national team had massive frustrations with her, which were hella underreported by media. So that's part of it. And I don't know if that was as a person who is recently becoming in the media. Right. I don't know if that, from my observation, it seems like you didn't want to like call that out if you were capable because it would fuck up the access. But that is why you didn't have, that's part of how she didn't get called to task.
Yeah.
And she's like getting complete, like, players literally had legitimate issues, and you hear it in podcasts. You got a whole book. Meg Rapinoe got this all laid out in multiple chapters in her book. You got people with other books that got laid out chapters in terms of her.
Or interviews or anything else. It's not as if the players, and a lot of them are veterans, and they're from a different generation, and you weren't going to push them around. But also, they're coming from the same place that all of the NWSL players are, right? Like, you have to sacrifice to make sure we exist.
Yeah.
And so I feel like the media kind of bought into that too, right? Like, okay, we're not going to report it because we win a lot and it's going to ruin women's soccer. And that's moving from a fear or as we say in education, a deficit model.
Yeah.
And so honestly, can I be really, really, really honest about deficit models? They're really white.
Yeah. And so in the process though, you end up having somebody who probably shouldn't be in the position than trying to push an agenda. And like Sills is saying, that's a money grab. Because I knew that immediately. Do it 2 years messes up your club play. But what people aren't understanding, and because FIFA, for as many billions that it has, that it only sends to the men's side, or because they don't want to be attached to federations and be drugged into court, they tell the Federations, here's say billions, you go do what you do with it. How you split it up is on you. That's how they're trying not to get sued by the U.S. Women's National Team. That kind of concept. But still, they're still not making as much money as they can because they're not being equitable in how they disperse the money. But then also, they have this really greedy view in terms of what soccer should look like. And so they're pissed because they're not getting more billions because clubs have the ability to make more money. They unify, they make their own club cup. Right. They can throw more money, advertisement, everything under the sun than anything a federation could give. And so they're trying to dismantle it because make no mistake, the Super League, for all the hate that it got, part of it was to try to go deal with the bullshit FIFA was trying to kick. Because yeah. FIFA's been trying to do this to try to get control. And so the any kind of thought process that this was a legitimate thing, that's crazy. And so when I hear somebody like Jill Ellis talk about some, well, it's something to consider and it's okay. I'm like, woman, you were the national team coach. You know that would be a fucking disaster because you can't keep anybody healthy from a domestic league standpoint. That dismantles all your domestic leagues because you can't even get players to stay. And it fucks up all the tournaments from the Euros to the Olympics, everything, because people are trying to bust their ass to play for the World Cup.
Right.
And then somebody brought this up, like, who is funding these federations every 2 years? You barely get the funding for four.
And then did you see I don't know, did I zone out and you said it, but the idea that like this same teams can't play in two consecutive World Cups if it's 2 years, every 2 years?
There was
the proposal on the table, like, oh, because we're going to every 2 years, if you play in one World Cup, 2 years later, you can't play in the next one.
Then what the fuck is it? Then it's the double Dutch, it's the hopscotch World Cup. Like, what the hell are you doing? You jumping in, jumping out? So that's not the World Cup. So then y'all want to make a new trophy situation.
Right.
And it's all going to be a disaster.
And so this is why, despite the foolishness of the Super League, I understood it.
Yeah.
The people running the Super League are no less corrupt than the people running FIFA.
Right.
But I got it, right? Like, yeah. Because clubs own their own money, right? So
yeah,
and it's FIFA wanting in and them not wanting to have to answer to FIFA because nobody wants to answer to power less than other people in power. But they're all terrible. Like, please, there are no good guys in the scenario. But
no.
Yeah, even at the time as we were, you know, killing the Super League as fans, it was always a friendly reminder, FIFA aren't the good guys in this situation.
Right.
And that has come to fruition very quickly. It's just ludicrous.
What's funny is they're going to try, I know, even if the men effectively block it, they're going to try to put this on the women. And so what they're going to try to go is, well, the U.S. Women's National Team is super glorified and it's better than club. But let's not get it twisted. U.S. soccer was in control of the NWSL for years. And they were effectively the barrier to why you didn't have more money coming into the league. Like, a lot of this white supremacy bullshit that has fucked up the NWSL and U.S. soccer as a whole comes back to the lack of access, and then you don't have the correct marketing strategies and everything else. So you live in these thousandaire dreams of struggle instead of billionaire glory because you have this flawed ideology in terms of what's going on. When reality, women's soccer in particular in this country could be easily a $1 billion thing. And so if you let the clubs flourish like an Angel City, like an OL Reign, and you let them do what they do and market correctly and actually pay players and actually put out quality product, then you end up having a whole machine that can generate mad income for everybody named mama and mama's mama and mamas that you ain't even thought to mama. And people can get fluked out all this stuff that FIFA can't compete with, the yeah. U.S. Women's National, the U.S. Soccer Federation can't compete with. And then that's when things shift from being, oh yeah, country first, then no, club first. Because it gets real, real different when the club values you as a human, value you as a person, sees you beyond being an asset, wants to make sure your future is good, not just on the pitch, but outside the pitch, wants to help you grow your brand and who you are. Mm-hmm. Then it gets real, real different. You're going to go hard to paint for that. And then now you get the fading of effectively like of your national team. Like, even when you look at the WNBA, for example, you got players who will never, ever play on the U.S. national team for basketball. Yeah. And part of that is politics. But even you got some who may never ever do it, because if it's, again, if the WNBA is marketed correctly, easily billions.
Yes.
You can make more money playing for your corresponding club. And so if you get on the team, you get on the team, you don't. If you get hurt, you can't do it, whatever. You know, that's how you had people getting paid off not to go play for the WNBA because you had leagues investing more money.
Yeah.
Like, what would have happened if the Russian mob boss didn't get killed and they were able to do that crazy ass plan to grow the European?
I love that the caveat is, well, the Russian mob boss was killed.
Like, you would have seen, what is effectively possibly about to start happening in women's soccer, where from a club perspective, when they start paying, when the Angel Cities and the Oil Reigns and the Newcastles start paying out the ass for these players, then you start seeing a shift, and then they market correctly and you see the audience, you get the booties in the seats.
So this is a brief and very quick history lesson. It's not soccer, by the way. Part of why I love the Negro Leagues so much, right? It's one of the most successful Black enterprises in this country. One, independently run, right? Because we had no access to Major League Baseball. So that's one.
Mm-hmm.
But two, most of those teams were funded by people who had less than stellar records in life. Probably saw the inside of a jail cell every once in a while, ran some numbers, some bootleggers. Because they were the people who had the capital to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And some of those players played under not great conditions, but a lot of them were treated very well. I say this to say, regardless of the racial, gender, orientation, whatever, the makeup of your sport, there's always criminal elements, right? And how you define criminal is up to you.
Mm-hmm.
There's always going to be less than unsavory elements because money. Regardless of how you value legality or not, those are the people who have the money, right? There are no ethical billionaires.
No, not at all.
But billionaires own sports teams.
Yep.
So if you watch sports, there's already some exception of that reality, right? Mm-hmm. Now, can it change? Absolutely. But not as long as capitalism is king.
Right.
So, nobody's going to get it completely right. I do see people trying. And there's so much money to be made in a way that also pays the players, the lower level staff. Mm-hmm. Everybody gets a cut and eats. And it's more than a living wage. People can take care of their generations off of this. That's how much is out there. It's now about how you choose to do it. But it sure as hell ain't going to get better if you have a World Cup every 2 years.
Right.
And it's not going to get better if we as media don't keep calling people to task, asking the questions, staying on people's necks. That's what we're supposed to do, right? That's the tenet of media. I happen to work somewhere where Everard Murrow went here, right? Our school, our college is named after him. So like the tenets of media still exist, even though media has shifted quite a bit, and how we do media has shifted. So yeah, I just think part of accountability absolutely lies in the leadership of leagues, but it also lies in the media. Leagues. And you gotta call your white players out on their whiteness.
You gotta call yourself out
on your whiteness,
and you also gotta call out like bad, like in the quest for diversity, equity, and inclusion, you have to make sure people are good people. So you have to call out Jill Ellis's behavior,
right? And it's been a collection of players, right, from various backgrounds who have said something, right? It's why I'm gonna keep it a buck. There's gonna be a whole lot of players who ain't going to San Diego.
Oh, I wasn't supposed to say that.
Okay, sorry.
Well,
why would they?
We ain't gonna be able to go to San Diego. It's fine. But yeah,
that's not my team.
But yeah, that's real shit. But that's the realness. See, this is why we here. This is why we give y'all this, because y'all out here tap dancing like y'all like, why are the national players not gonna go?
And why would they?
Because it's real, real different when somebody has control of your life.
Yeah.
And your existence all the fucking time. It gets real, real different.
So yeah,
just hold people accountable. Like people, that's why we here. That's why we call it out.
Yeah, girl boss don't mean black. That's all I'm gonna say. Y'all, girl boss never means black. So
there we go.
So okay. I'm sure we have a lot more we could say about that, but we do not want to be here forever. And there's a game coming on soon, though. Yeah. I saw that lineup.
Wait, time out.
Sorry.
Let's talk about this. Let's talk about
speaking of
Speaking of, okay, all right. So
Sky has this on her heart, so I'm gonna let her start.
So almost said the name, Cast Iron Skillet. So an individual said that they're going to play in 2023-2024 for the World Cup and the Olympics. And then it caused me to have this crazy ass rant in my car. So I was talking crazy. So if you saw me driving around the South Bay of LA, I was talking to myself. It's because I was enraged. Okay, let me explain something. So we are no longer at the point. We honestly, for a long time, we haven't been at the point where we need to be talking about some, from a national team perspective, in terms of our player talent, that this narrative that we gonna fall off as a country and we're not ready. And part of why we didn't win the Olympics is because we're starting, the people are catching up. And so that's bullshit. The reality is we have been basking in white supremacy and whiteness for so fucking long and ignoring talent that actually largely is Black mm-hmm. and brown mm-hmm. or even if they're not, neither, they're young. That weird is catching up on our asses because the world has caught up to the white version of the team and the older version of the team. So my irritation is the concept that these veteran players, particularly white players, are thinking that it's going to be a gimme, that we're going to pop off in 2023 and 2024. That's craziness because there is no... It is unacceptable to think that we have a fullback issue or center back issue when we have all this fucking talent in NWSL. Because the purpose in NWSL, if I'm understanding correctly why it got put into existence, the bullshit that was kicked, was that it was going to be the domestic league for the United States national team to be able to train and build, for us to develop players, and for that to be the playground, the building ground for the future team. So you need to excel there and be great so that you could get, you know, the call up to go on the national team. That's clearly been bullshit because you've had phenomenal players get overlooked. But particularly talking about on defense, if that person is to start, we are failing as a country because you have mad talent at fullback and center back that she'd be lucky if she gets on the bench. And to keep it real, your best, Casey Krueger has been one of the best fullbacks forever.
Ooh. Okay.
For years. And you've had somebody like Kristen Press straight up tell you she is the best 1v1 defender in the world.
She shuts her down.
She shuts her down. And you have yet to see her get called up. Let's talk about Chicago. You've only effectively had the white players get called on to the national team. That's crazy shit. When you had Casey Krueger, Sarah Gordon back there all the time. Sarah Gordon literally has shut down. She did it this summer. She shut down like three of the best French players by herself. Effectively.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, when we talk about Gotham, that's hella Black.
Yeah.
You got Estelle Johnson having to play for Cameroon, but she should have been called into the national team camp. You got Imani Dorsey. You got Who am I missing? You got Mandy Freeman. You got all these. You got Caprice Didasco.
Yep. Carson Pickett.
You got Carson Pickett. You got Kiki, I was about to call her Kiki Palmer.
Kiki, do you love me?
You got Emily Fox.
Yes.
You know, you have all these players. Hell, even why are we having to fight to get Andy Sullivan? You got all these phenomenal players that exist, and we forever are hell-bent on just trying to force Crystal Dunn, who is actually your best midfielder, to play as a fullback, when your quest needs to actually bring these people into camp. Because to be real, Kelly O'Hara should be freaking out because there's mad talent to replace her ass at right back.
And right. Honestly,
if we in 2023 are still having Crystal Dunn be left back, we got an issue.
We got
it. She is issues. Your best midfielder.
So I wonder too, though, if that is, like, do people not realize the change is coming? Has U.S. soccer been so powerful and kind of clamping that down that they're just like, oh, that's not going to happen, because she's not the first player to say it.
Yeah, that's
who's
crazy.
Who's not in form? And I'm like,
right.
When I was, I mean, I'm not old, but I'm not young. But I was told growing up, particularly, you know, once everybody's sort of kid of the 99ers and whatnot, I was told that the competition in camp was that, like, somebody's always coming for your spot. And there's no way in hell you're going to convince me that there ain't somebody better in camp. Like, and I know we're not in camp. I know we don't see everything outside of like the behind the crest stuff. But I also watch these people play in the professional soccer. Like, there can't be that level of competition right now.
Right.
Right. For somebody to feel that secure in their spot, particularly 2 years out.
Right.
And I get having a level of confidence, right? It's the American way. It's also the really white American way, because when Black players have that confidence, y'all call them all sorts of names.
Right, right.
So I wonder, because of the generation that they come from, if that's sort of the assumption and like that reality is going to hit them, because Sophia Smith coming for your spot.
Right.
Kiki Pickett's coming for your spot. Right? Trinity Rodman's coming for everybody's spot. Like,
yeah.
These kids are built different and they play different.
They play better. And I reckon you in the league.
And their talent is better. Like, they have more talent. They have more skill. They are soccer players who are also good athletes. They're not athletes who happen to be decent at soccer.
Yes.
And so all of these things you have in place, right? The formations that we play, where traditionally we've plucked players that we can just plug into this thing. You're going to have to actually build around the talent that you have. And the talent ain't like,
yes,
by and large, right? There's a few, there's Tierna, there's Emily. We know that, you know, a Bethany or Ashley, whatever. But by and large, you're most... Emily Fox is what I meant. Sorry. Fox. Ooh. There's more than one Emily. My bad. But do you know what I mean? Like, we never had talent like this before. You're not going to be able to plug Katarina Macario in. You're going to have to build around Katarina Macario.
Right.
That's not how it works.
Right.
And so, go ahead.
But my other frustration is then, is it because you got Emily Sonnet? I just called out her name. You got Emily Sonnet out here, you know what I'm saying, George Foreman it up, getting cooked up repeatedly, and she still continuously gets called in camp. Like you said, she doesn't get played when you need her if somebody gets hurt. But she's continuously making rosters when, again, Casey Krueger is like a defender, like top defender.
In the league every year.
In the league every year and can't get on roster. What you need? You need somebody. She used to service Kristen Press balls, dog.
Well, and honestly, and even if your argument is Casey Krueger can't get forward, one, yes, she can. Two, Casey Krueger was a forward before she was. She didn't convert to
State,
she didn't convert to outside back till halfway through college.
Right.
So she knows how to get forward. She was literally a forward.
Like Kelly O'Hara.
Right. And she's better. She's a better defender. She's a pure 1v1 defender. Like, just how we, again, so always coming back to like how we evaluate talent and how we want to be, right? What's this identity? What's this culture? And mm-hmm. The culture's looked one way and it's not working anymore. And
right.
You, again, I will go back to what I said several episodes ago. Do you want to win? You want to be white?
Right. And because it's like, because I'm really trying to understand, because it's like Lynn Williams is having to have the, she's literally NWSL Hall of Fame great.
Yeah.
And she just now got called onto a national team stage as a fucking alternate that she didn't put her in. And so she ends up getting your ass to the fucking medal game.
Because
again, if she doesn't play, those goals don't happen, and then you at home with no silverware.
Mm-hmm.
You just went to Tokyo for a free trip for nothing. And so, but she has been this exponentially great. You forever are rostering people who have not done a damn thing in WSL, ain't made a best 11 to save their life, ain't been player no goddamn week.
Yes.
And then, but all these Black players. Sophia Fuerta is phenomenal and is going to have to go, is going to have to be a fullback to get on national team.
Yep.
This is crazy ass shit. You're having players having to ball out of fucking control, but we make exceptions for white players who be mediocre to get on this roster. I'm tired of this shit.
Yeah, I think, and that's going to be a constant frustration, I think, as things shift. I do think they will shift, not because people want it to, but because you're not going to have a choice.
Right.
I think ultimately winning matters more because there's more money in winning than losing. I don't care how white the face you put on the billboards in New York are. You're not going to make as much money putting that face up if that face is getting their ass kicked. So that's just the truth. There's more money. There's more money for FIFA. There's more money for the Federation. There's more money for the leagues if you win. So I think at some point winning will win out. But I don't know when that will be, and we don't have a lot of time before the World Cup. So I say all that to say, like I said on Twitter, if that's what we're doing in 2023, we're not getting out of the group. So
come on now.
Let's figure it out. Okay. That was a lot. You know, sometimes we're coherent, sometimes we're not, but we mean it.
We did that thing.
But we now are getting into the traditions. So we're about to roll up into hits and riffs.
Who start? Who's going?
You can go.
Wow. But I see your shit. Okay. All right. So, oh my bad. We should define what hits and riffs. So hits and riffs is when we give you the quiet storms, the chill songs, the slow jams, the baby making music, and then your the quiet storms, and then we give you your turnips, your lituations, your hype songs, your great, you know, the twerk them, my bad. It could be a twerk them down fast version, your lit songs, your exciting, vibeful songs of yesterday and today.
Yes.
So yeah, throwbacks to your recent turnips. We're old. Well, she's older than me.
Oh, okay.
But
oh my old. God. It's not, oh my God, please. All right. Keep going.
I'll just be going. But anyway, so normally that's what we're supposed to do. This week is kind of all over the place because we had a makeup because we haven't even done this in a couple weeks.
Yeah.
But yeah. So if I'm starting, let's start off. So so we be doing whatever. So yes. I'm not really gonna have an old one. Actually, Sills is gonna take care of the old school.
Yeah, I got you.
So it was Latin Hispanic History Month. Wait, is that right?
Yes, or Latin Heritage Month.
Month, my bad.
Yeah.
I said Lord Jesus. Okay. Like they try to do Black History. It's all year. For all cultures, it's all fucking year. Get right. But anyway, so I was doing like various Latina flavor vibes out here. So I was remiss because in all this foolery, I had missed that the homie Snow the Product won a Latin Grammy.
Oh.
And so, yo, I've been down for the choo-choo train for the ride since from the jump. When she was out there, you know, she is a whole, I said this before, she is a whole entity. Like, if you were just new to the Snow the Product vibes and flow, you missed out. She's the, like, she, I guarantee she got her own independent millions. I think she's sitting on millions, but she got a whole, like the whole woke crew squad, everything is lit. She real cool people. She has a real fire flow. So, okay. So my throw, but actually my today, whatever. My song was her, actually the thing that I guess was like, it went viral a few months back. And actually what she won a Grammy on was the collab she did for the Music Sessions with, Volume 39.
Okay.
Actually, that is going to be the instrument. That's the instrumental you hear on the episode because it's fire. But it was cool to see her blow up on a flow that is indicative of all her flows. That it was like fire because it transitions and goes back and forth between English and Spanish so effortlessly. And it like rhymes in both languages. And it's just fire ass content. Like letting people know I'm gonna run up on you and beat your ass like a pinata. Like and going back and like keeping it real 100 and using crazy ass metaphors in English and in Spanish. Like fire. And then she was then also, so Tech N9ne has been a mentor to her. He has a new album and she's on this song called Noceums. Her verse is fire per usual. As she hops on. She got a new song also with Ludacris, too. But yeah, Snow the Product is getting the love here because that's the homie, that's the vibe, that's the pimping. I'm so happy she won a Latin Grammy. I meant to say that a long time ago, but yeah.
All right,
you can do your songs.
Okay. So like Sky said, three of mine are old school or throwbacks. And then I got one new one.
You're gonna wait until I do my another one before you do the new one.
Okay, yeah, I'm gonna do the two old. All right.
Okay, sorry.
All right, so I have two old school Quiet Storms. One is going to be Never Felt This Way, the Alicia Keys version. It's also a Prince song.
Yes,
songs in A minor come through. That's a
is
great
that the
album.
One that was like 1 minute?
Yes, yeah, two.
It's like really short.
But it's a great two. But it's a great two.
It's like, come on, Alicia. But I know the rights on that.
She goes into Butterfly. Yeah, she goes into Butterflies. I know the rights. Which is also a good song, by the way.
She probably paid a good smooth grip for that.
Yeah, and that was her first album too. Yeah, that Clive Davis paid that money is what happened.
Yeah.
So there's that one. And then my second one is when I'm alone in my room, sometimes I stare at the wall, and in the back of my mind, I hear my conscience call telling me I need a girl who's as sweet as a dove. For the first time in my life, I see I need love. There I was. Okay, I ain't gonna keep going. I can do this, Anna.
You didn't tell me you was gonna do that.
I'm not, I like to surprise the people. It's I Need Love by LL Cool J. Ladies love Cool James. Mr. Kangol hat himself. But yeah, that's the one right there. Anytime it comes on, I gotta do the whole song. So yeah, that's fine. Sorry, I didn't mean to catch you off guard. Oh my God, you wheezing. Please take a minute. I was gonna do I didn't want to sing the instrument.
What?
I thought,
because I'm actually I like the what's that song, you know, the freaky one.
Oh yeah, there's a few. It's LL Cool J. There's some.
Well, I mean, you know, the one, the doing it.
Oh, 100% queen, she was raised out.
Okay, yeah, yeah, that okay, one. Sorry. Okay, so that's a future one. Okay, so she threw me off. So I guess okay. So one of my other two. They're recent. Wow. So Doja Cat in the Weeknd, You Right. I heard that on a little playlist. Y'all know I'm old. I hadn't heard that.
She's showing actually feet in the chat. Sorry. That will always be funny. God bless Noriega, man.
You Right is like it's a little side piece hit. It's a little cheating anthem.
Okay, some side piece songs are sometimes the best songs.
It's a side piece cheating song. It's like she like. Yeah, I like you. I'm trying to get on that. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. But I'm booed up.
Oh, okay.
It's like the side piece summer anthem. It probably was summer anthem, but in the thottum, because you're getting ready to get your boo thing, or you trying to move from one boo to another boo to snuggle up. For all y'all people living in cold places, that's not me though. But okay. You know, you're trying to move from one spot to another. Some of the cheating anthems, they be so trifling, but it'd be
so fire.
I know, but
they sound good. I know. I feel you on that.
And then the other one is Have Mercy by Chloe. Let me tell you. So, okay. So last night in the chat, somebody had posted the, oh boy, what's his name? He from somewhere in Georgia, but he was like, yo, Ludacris should have been on this Have Mercy song. And he effectively rapped like Ludacris. And I was like, damn. And so then I went back and listened to the song. I was like, damn. Be fire, but I'm like, this song is fire. And I was up there like doing my little twerk as I was doing my PT in the gym. But yeah, those are my songs.
Okay. I forget all the time that Chloe and Haley are from Atlanta, so represent. I love them. They're great.
They're so young.
They're so talented. I mean, they're not young no more, but yeah,
they're not like young, but it's fire. If Ludacris should listen to it, actually get old boy to do it and then drop another verse. And then just like have it a little, like it made me want to go back home. Maybe want to go out to Atlanta, put on a mask, put on five masks, go out and go to the performing arts and, you know, experience the vibes. Sorry.
For sure. All right. I feel you, you know, that sounds like some younger Sky would have been down.
And old Sky could do it.
All right.
Don't get it twisted.
Okay. So my next two, one's old school.
Wow.
One's new. So I do have an old school turn up. Get money. I said that so not with any season. I want to do the verse, but yeah, I don't want to do that. Oh, by Junior Mafia. Junior Mafia, what the hell? Stop it, yeah.
Okay.
Junior Mafia was a group.
Okay.
That was under Bad Boy. His two most famous members are probably Lil Cease and Lil Kim. Y'all know who Kim is. But yeah, it's I can't. I don't have the heart because my mom listens to the show. I can't get my name. But it's timeless. It's a very good song. It always gets the party going, as they say in Blaze of Glory, or gets the people going. And then my new joint is Slow Jam. I said, you might know what it is, but you know, one of the goats, secretly a fuckboy. Sorry. Wow. But wow. I wouldn't sing Junior Mafia. Okay. It's Adele. Easy on yes. me. You know, that new joint drops next month. Get your tissues ready. It's fall too.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, she's been through a divorce. That alimony check is real large. You know, she's about to take us on a journey. Every album's been fire. Though I need y'all to put some more respect on 19. I don't like the way y'all move with that.
Yeah, that's true.
21 and 25 are fire.
I forgot you like the you like all the little the sad ass songs to be.
Yeah, I do. I love sad. I really like sad songs.
Y'all. Be in the dark, be really in the dark.
I mean, it's how I get my feelings out because I don't be crying like that. But you know, a good sad song will do it. But I mean, we all acknowledge Adele's greatness. So yes. And I think most people ooh. I know are excited. Oh,
there's a remix with it's already? Like an 80 something meme remix. I'm gonna send it to you. It's fire.
Already?
It's actually really cool.
Like yeah. 3 days, man.
There's okay. a remix that's fire. I don't know if somebody made it, but it's like an 80s flavor remix. And she's got is I think it's official because she got one like this old school track jacket and it's fire. I was like, oh, this is sexy. I was up there like eighties music. But yeah, it's fire.
Yeah. But yeah, I think we all wait patiently for Adele to drop music, and she knows her range. She knows exactly what kind of music she's supposed to make, and that's what she does. She gives us what we ask for, and I respect that.
Yep.
So yeah, that's what I got.
Are we any doing quick Brandon Rice?
Yeah, well, I got some ranting. Yeah,
I got a quick rant.
Okay,
I'm gonna do it right now.
All
right. My quick one rant is the L word. So the L word, Generation Q. It's been a struggle. I said I'm going to support the franchise. So the L Word is a show about lesbians in Los Angeles, supposedly, whatever. It had its issues in the first iterations. You had Jennifer Bills, you had Lisha Haley,
yeah.
Shane McCutcheon. Not Shane, Laura, I called her Shane McCutcheon. What's her real name? Kate Moaning.
Yeah.
You had all these playing the main characters. They're back in season two. So my biggest frustration is in the finale. If you didn't hear it, you want to skip this. If not, you're going to get spoiled anyway. But so in the second season of the new version of the show, they finally, so a lot of the fuckery of the past characters is either evolved into more fuckery, like Bette hasn't evolved into a grown woman yet, or you've had people kind of evolve, but they do some foolishness. But in true to L Word fashion, they are always trying to embrace drama. So there's this couple, Danny and Gigi, who... they're both, so Danny is Chilean and Persian, and Gigi is Persian. And so they were initially in separate relationships where Danny was with Sophie, but Sophie then cheated on her and then left her at the altar. And then Donnie swung all girly, Finley, in the process. But then Gigi was in the trouble with Alice and Nat and all this mess. Anyway, they eventually get together. But everybody's been loving Danny and Gigi together because they've been a healthy ass couple. Because for lesbian relationships, women who love women relationships.
Yeah, TV's not
it's
kind.
Always TV has always been a mess, killing them off, blowing shit up, doing all kind of dramatic shit. Even in the original L Word, Bette and Tina, the cheating happening with Bette. While yeah, I can understand Bette because we vibe on a level. Don't ask. Okay. We can talk about that a late. That's the story time with Sky. I understand some of the behavior, but it was unnecessary to have them cheat. Everybody just was like, can we just have a healthy ass couple on the show?
All right. Hold on one second. All right. Go ahead. Sorry.
Can we just have a healthy ass couple on the show? And so with Danny and Gigi, since their jump off, they've been hella communicative. Like I'm talking about, they've had beautiful communication. As an older LGBT individual, I've evolved to a point where I might have been like Heisman'd and sidestep communication in my younger years, that I'm like, can I have a woman who will be communicable, my bad, who will communicate with my ass and have healthy conversations? And let's talk about feelings. Let's talk about emotions. I am not Miss Cleo. I cannot read your mind. Can you please, for the love of God, help me to see and be what, know what you're thinking and feeling? They've been doing that. You know, even Gigi got Danny to communicate her feelings because she wouldn't communicate. All this to say, in the finale, it was foolishness that happened that made no logical sense, particularly as it was based out of California. Danny ended up having to go to jail because she got held in contempt of court because she didn't testify. And it blew up this beautiful family scene that happened at the very end of the episode. All this to say, I am tired of the foolishness of the L word perpetuating this bullshit narrative of needing to put drama in healthy ass relationships.
Right.
Can we have women who love women in a healthy, healthy, healthy relationship doing healthy shit and getting, there's mad drama. It's LA. There's plenty of shit that fucks up your happy ass relationship. There's plenty of drama that can happen and y'all not cheat and y'all communicate and y'all have to work through stuff. You got Gigi is a realtor. Yanni is a freaking CEO of a pharmaceutical company. And so you got all kinds of shit that's going to happen. And then they're fucking in Silver Lake. I think they're in Silver Lake. There's all kinds of crazy stuff that happens. I could tell you the stories of Sky. There's plenty of stuff to happen. And you ain't got to be no fuck individual and be cheating. Not to say, oh, wait a minute, let's take it back. Just because you cheat doesn't mean that you're completely, it's a communication issue usually.
Yeah.
You got to work through it, go to therapy, work through that. But you don't have to, we don't have to glorify, we don't have to use cheating as a plot device, as a jump off point to do things and create just toxic ass relationships. For what and for why? Can we just have healthy, healthy relationships? I'm tired of it. I'm tired of Elwer doing this shit and doing this with Black characters in particular also, and brown characters. Mm. Like, for what and for why? Can we stop? Please, make it stop. That's it. That's my rant. I'm done. I'm okay. I'm sorry if I spoiled. Watch the show.
Yeah, I think it's okay. Mine will be super, super brief, and I have to walk a really fine line because this is about my place of employment.
Uh-oh, here we go.
So I'm really trying to find a way not to pop all the way off. It's been a heck of a week. And the media being here is not the fault of the overwhelming majority of my colleagues and our students who have met compliance for COVID-19. And in the state of Washington, there are mandates in place. Again, the overwhelming majority of our campus community, over 90%, both students and staff, are either vaccinated or have an exemption and are following what they need to follow to make sure that we are all safe and that we can be in person this semester and beyond. But very famously, we had one former employee, and it was a total of five actually, but the most notable one being our former coach, who was terminated for cause. And WSL fans should be very familiar with that phrase. For not complying with the state's mandates. And I don't know, I guess just as an adult, I think we know we've had some conversations about accountability and representation and all of these other things. If you are in a position to be a leader of young men, you need to be a leader of young men. You need to be accountable. You need to set an example. And that is not what happened. And I know everybody has slightly different feelings on student athletes in this country and how the United States works, how the NCAA works or doesn't work, to be more accurate. But at the end of the day, it is the community that suffers. It is the children of those people who are still here and who are gone that suffer. And it is the students that suffer. And my heart is with those players who are conflicted, don't know what to make of this and didn't sign up for this. I feel for people who have to make decisions. It's never, ever, ever easy to tell somebody they don't have a job anymore for whatever reasons, no matter how valid. And ultimately, it's a hell of that coach's own construction. And everything that's happened after is just sad to me. And no one's above the rules. Nobody's above what this school is supposed to stand for. And we get it wrong a lot. We get it right a lot too. But at the end of the day, you are on equal footing with everybody else in the situation. This is a virus. It does not care. And it is ultimately about the safety of this very insular, small college community that we live in, that was at one point top five in the country. in terms of contraction and death. On a campus where you have Black students and African-American students, you have Chicanx students and Latinx students, you have a sizable Native population, and that is relative to what the actual Native population is in this country, which is still not a ton, in a country where tribes have been overwhelmingly affected by this disease and have also vaccinated at a higher rate than almost everybody to fight this disease, to fight this virus. And it's just, it's sad. It's sad, and it's a microcosm of how the rest of the world is playing out. I applaud people for standing their ground and for understanding that there are precedents that you have to set. I believe in personal choice. I believe that you get to make decisions, but I also think we share this space. Everybody knows everybody. And you have a responsibility to your fellow man. And that's not what happened here. And so I'm sad, I'm angry, I'm disappointed, but I'm here. I'm here, and like I said, there's the number of people who are good and who are trying far outweighs the other. So just keep us in your thoughts. And hopefully one day we'll be in the news for something good. So that's my rant, kind of, sort of.
Well, for a rave, what was the first rave for the Chicago Sky?
Yeah.
What was the first rave before the Chicago Sky? What was the other one?
Girl, I don't even remember now. That's a daggone shame. We missed it.
Damn.
Oh, man. That's okay. We can go to the Chicago Sky.
Well, Chicago Sky. So, the Chicago Sky. So, first of all, you know, we went to Seattle and we purposely went to a WNBA game.
We did.
And I was in Chicago. I was in Candace Parker's jersey.
Yes, you are.
In the Seattle situation. And I didn't care. All people's all upset and stuff. It was like, that's right, y'all losing. And then they got whooped.
Yeah.
They got whooped again.
You know who had a baller game that game? Kalia Coffer.
Yep, she balled out. Yeah. She balled out on their forehead.
We saw that in person. Yeah.
It was real in person. And so it was real in the series. And she was, what did she win? Oh, she won MVP.
Yes.
Of the finals.
As she should.
As she should. Because the Chicago Star Sky, oh Lord, Chicago Sky won. The GOAT got a GOAT W at the home.
He bought it home.
Bought it home. Oh, it was
first,
the door.
First year back. Yeah. Oh, the door.
Oh, shit.
So, allegedly.
Wait. We got
it. Okay, sorry.
Before we bring up the door. So, Candace Parker, we are high fans.
Yes.
I'm still upset you were no longer. I hate the Sparks, by the way. My bad, because people are going to be all upset. Like, you live in LA. Why don't you, whatever? I was a diehard New York Liberty fan. And then I became a San Antonio Silver Stars fan when the homie Becky Hammond and Vicky Johnson went play there.
Yeah.
But then I hated the freaking LA Sparks forever and ever. Yeah. But I was like learning to kind of embrace it for Candace Parker. And then Derek Fisher had her get up out of there. Anyway, I'm so happy the homie got a ring. Actually, if they want to be petty, invite the LA Sparks to come through on ring night and get the ring. That'd be some petty ass shit.
I mean, they lean into their petty. So yeah, one, just shout out Candace Parker. I am a lifelong Lady Vols fan, so clearly one of my favorite players, and much like myself, holds Pat in the highest regard. And I jokingly said Pat would always be more excited about the rebounds that she's gotten in this series than the points. But yeah, and I know she would have been so excited for Candace to come home and do it in the fashion that she did it. And she really was the missing piece. There's always been talent on that team.
Yep.
But they needed a leader. They needed somebody who knew what it was to go through the entire thing. And it's Chicago's first championship.
First championship.
Two of my favorite athletes are CP. So I'm hoping this is a good omen, even though I'm not going to be rooting for her team.
Why are you disrespectful like that?
I will cry. I will cry if the other CP does this.
I'm gonna be crying every game. But anyway, go ahead.
Yeah, I mean that's fair. But allegedly, during the loss in the Mercury locker room, Diana Taurasi is purported to have broken one of the doors. And I think the reply, I don't know if it was from her or from the team, was there are a lot of doors.
That was her. She said that.
Okay. So she said there are a lot of doors. So the Sky decided to find the door and bring it to their victory parade. It was on stage with the players as they made their speeches. No one actually mentioned the door. It just sat there. And it is broken, like you can see it. It's also not like the most expensive door ever made, but it's definitely a broken door. So that was a level of trolling, petty, whatever you want to call it, that I truly respect it. And just shout out to the Sky who put it together. Shout out to James Wade. I think he's like the third Black coach to win.
Yes.
In the WNBA. So congrats to him. And he's the first to win as an assistant and as a head coach.
Yep.
And I think, was it Sloot who told the story? Like, Candace is the person who told her about James Wade and you should get him in Chicago. And he ended up there and then she came home. So life tends to come full circle. So yeah, it's beautiful, right? So shout out to that. And then I do just want to do a quick shout out on behalf of the homie Nubia. They are a Rutgers student and a Rutgers fan, and Amira Ali for Rutgers has absolutely been balling. And I think she's a college name that people don't know or talk about enough. And so
she hit another banger today. Angel City.
Oh my God, here we go. But she hit another banger today. And so I just want to shout out Amira Ali. She doesn't necessarily get the shine that like Mia Fitchell or Naomi Grimmer gets. And so I just wanted to do that. I'm sure there are more raves to be had, but those are the two big ones that we wanted to do.
Yeah.
We got to wrap it up.
We got to wrap it up because it's about this.
The game we don't want to watch is starting. So okay,
so we got to shout people out. So what's good for the Culture United, the homies from the Lamonts and the Washington coach to the head of the off week.
I saw him playing for Brentford this past weekend too.
Dang, he got many a lookalike. This is insane. Jesus Christ. What's up, Coach Tony?
What's up, Coach?
And Grego and TK.
Yeah.
And everybody who we might have missed. What's good, Yogi? Can I kick it? What's good, Diaspora United in the group chat? It's always lit every damn day at all hours. What's good, Kaya?
Yes.
And then law school. And wait a minute. Me, Kaya, if you listen, we're going to have to for real have a talk about your alcohol choices. You got to get to grad school. You out here drinking this vodka in Red Bull.
Oh God.
We gotta get to law school. We gotta get to law school, shawty. We can't
upgrade.
We gotta upgrade. We gotta get, cause you know, we have to have story time with Sky.
Well, maybe it's good vodka though. But okay.
No, it's gotta be like, you gotta get like Belvedere.
Yeah, you gotta do super top.
You gotta do high quality. You know, if you do the story time of Sky.
Okay. One day. We'll just one do day. A whole episode. Okay.
What's good, 2 cents? What's good, protagonist?
Yes.
Who else? Are we missing anybody?
No.
All y'all people.
And just quick shout out again. Obviously, thanks for the Culture for hosting our crossover episode last week. And just another shout out to Coach Stacey Wilson. That was truly one of the honors of my life. So,
She almost passed out.
I did. That was, I held it together.
She almost blacked out.
I think we can call it a day.
Next week, because there ain't really no games.
No.
We're gonna pimp your squad. We're gonna pimp squads. Yes. Preferably, we probably want to attack actually the squads that are no longer going to the playoffs.
Yeah. Maybe we might. Yeah, we'll see what that looks like.
Yeah. Maybe we do some lists because we got like top 10 lists that have not
forever.
Been addressed.
Yeah. Poor goalkeepers, man. That's how they get treated.
Goalkeepers hybrids.
Yeah.
And then I don't know, whatever else. You know, it's gonna be some foolishness.
Yes.
Maybe we will. Soon we will do SBFC Double Dutch.
Yeah.
You'll know what the heck that means in a few weeks. I keep saying that.
Coming soon, but it's coming soon.
It's coming. But anyway, what we gonna do? We gonna stay hydrated.
We're gonna stay melanated.
We gonna make sure the Black woman. Well, we and you need to make sure the Black women in your life are celebrated.
Absolutely, and to make sure your shea butter bombs are always elevated.
And then have a great week. And whatever, go watch the game. Well, you already would have watched the game
that
is about to come on. But anyway, we'll holla at y'all.
All right.
Stay Black. Oh, well, stay you. Be you.
Stay black, stay you. Peace.